Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Chaplin's World is a terrific site slash museum located in Vevey in Switzerland that celebrates the enduring legacy of one of the greatest and most influential artists of the 20th century, Charlie Chaplin. Joining us to talk about it with us, as well as how Chaplin's World has responded to the pandemic and its amazing temporary exhibition, The Sound of Charlie Chaplin, is Chaplin's World Head of Communications, Annick Barbeza-Perrin. Annick, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much, Matt. Nice to be with you today.
It's a real pleasure for me to speak with you. So we're going to be talking about Chaplin's World, of course, but for those who don't know anything about Chaplin's World, would you care to maybe introduce it a bit and maybe also talk about where it's located? Because I know that the location itself is very significant.
Of course. So Chaplin's World is a museum dedicated to the life art of Charlie Chaplin, and the museum is located where he spent the last 25 years of his life in Switzerland near Lausanne, Vevey, about an hour from Geneva. And the guests can literally enter the manoir where Chaplin lived with his family, his 8 children. So it's an extremely fun experience because the museum is really big. Again, you have the manoir. You can discover his private life, who were the famous people visiting him in Switzerland. Then next to the manoir, you have a huge cinema studio. And we start the visit with a huge, big, nice movie explaining Charlie Chaplin, his movies, with also a little bit of history on the 20th century, because, you know, Charlie Chaplin used a lot of the news to make his movies, like the First World War, economic crisis, and all this was literally at the heart of his movies. And then you enter this big studio, and it's really fun because you can play within the movie set. So it's very interactive, not in a way with technology and screens, but much more like Charlie Chaplin used to play with his body a lot, and he was a great pantomime artist, and the visitors can do the same, actually. They play with their body within the movie sets, and that's really what the conceptors wanted to have. And the last part of the museum is a huge, magnificent park from which you can see the Geneva Lake and the Alps. And all those three parts really create like a magical experience for the visitors.
So it's for all the family as well.
Definitely, definitely. I think anybody who comes to visit Chaplin's World will be seduced by the character. I mean, people who never heard about Chaplin, and I wonder if this kind of people really exist, but people who never heard about Charlie Chaplin will discover the how funny his movies were, will have a lot of fun playing in the movie sets. And big, huge fans of Chaplin will definitely discover details about his life, things they probably didn't know about his private life, for example.
And the historical context of his films. And it sounds fascinating, but I do always wonder, why do you think Chaplin decided to spend sort of his later years in Vevey?
As you probably know, Charlie Chaplin was born in England. He was raised and born in a very extremely poor family in Lambeth, southeast London. Then he moved to America, where he became the huge celebrity that we know. And with the fame probably came the trouble. He was under the spotlights a lot. And since his movie, I would say Modern Times, he became more politically engaged. And with it came also a bit of a consumerism criticism, especially in Modern Times. Then came also The Great Dictator. And, you know, back in the 50s, we are post-Second World War era, and there was this famous witch hunt in America, and I think Hoover and McCarthy thought Chaplin was definitely a communist, which he always said he wasn't. He was a humanist. He never belonged to any political party. But at that time, they definitely thought he was, because he was not against the Russian, because he believed Russia held the front during the Second World War. So it was showing recognition for that. But then for America at that time, it was being against America. So he started to feel he was in trouble. And in 1952, he embarked to Europe to present his latest American production, which was Limelight. And once he was on the boat, he received a telegram from the Attorney General from the USA telling him that his visa will not be renewed. And therefore, he found himself like a migrant and was with his wife, his four children, with no possibility really to go back to America. And this is when he decided to settle down in Switzerland.
And that's a fascinating story. I always wonder how it was possible that people might have thought he was a communist when he did that speech in The Great Dictator for Democracy, which was so powerful. It's so powerful to this day. I always get chills when I hear it. But
I need to say something about that, because it's such an amazing speech. And I think it's still so relevant today. And at the museum, we will organize quite a lot of activities as from October this year, because we will celebrate the 80th anniversary of that movie. We will definitely organize like a temporary exhibition. We have a whole program around that wonderful movie with this amazing speech that, again, is so relevant today.
And we're gonna talk about more of, because you've got a really cool new temporary exhibition right now that we will definitely mention later in this interview. But I also wanted to go back to the story of Chaplin's World itself. Now, I understand that the project originated, you know, people started talking about it in the early 2000s, and it took some years to open. And since it has opened, has it been a popular site for Chaplin and arts lovers?
Oh, definitely. First of all, for our region, I think it quickly became like a key museum or key touristic attraction to visit. And the museum has been awarded in 2018, the museum was awarded with the best European museum. So it's a huge recognition for us. And definitely, I think today it's like a key place to visit for the people. And again, everybody can have fun here, all kind of public.
I just wanted to ask you, how did Chaplin's World respond to the situation?
It was quite harsh on us, but like on everybody else. But we have, you quickly mentioned it, this beautiful exhibition, The Sound of Chaplin. And we opened the door of this exhibition to the public on the 13th of March at 10 a.m. in the morning. And at 5 p.m., we had to shut it down because of the COVID-19. So it was a lot of efforts put into it for just a few hours of opening. But we are very lucky now that this exhibition, we have reopened the museum since the 13th of June, and the exhibition will be presented to the public until end of September. But during this period, I mean, it's been very busy still, because again, we were working a lot on the future. We have this nice program about the dictator coming up. So I think we definitely took the time to focus on the future and what was to be done for our public for when we could meet again.
Excellent. So now that it's sort of reopened, what are some of the safety precautions that museum goers are asked to adhere to?
So first of all, I would say that for the people who'd like to come and visit, the first thing to do is probably to buy and book the tickets online. Like this, it allows us to have a better management of the flow on site. So we make sure it's not too crowded. The flow is respected. The people do not cross each other too much. We also have different disinfectant points within the museums. But also, because it's a very interactive museum, again, it's a fun place, and we really, really wanted the people still to feel that experience. So we have done everything possible to maintain the fun part but still put in place all the precautions. And I think we find a good balance with that.
Where can the people book the tickets online? There's a website, of course, but what's the name of the website?
It's chaplainsworld.com.
Okay, I wanted to make sure to mention it just in case I forgot. Well, it's wonderful that the museum has reopened and that you're doing all you can to ensure health and safety for the people who do decide to visit. And people who decide to visit will, as we mentioned, get a chance to see the new exhibition, The Sound of Chaplin. Now, can you tell me just a little bit about that? Just an introduction, let's say.
It's a fantastic exhibition. It was first created and was first presented to the Paris Philharmonie Museum last summer. And we are very proud and happy to present it here within Chaplin's former house in a smaller version, I would say, of the exhibition. But it's just fantastic to discover what an amazing genius Chaplin was, because again, he was just not only an actor, producer, director, but also he was writing the music for pretty much all these movies. And this, I think, little people know it.
That's right. Yeah, he wrote the music for his films. He learned music by ear at an early age, right?
Exactly. So what is absolutely stunning is that it was completely self-taught. Both his parents were musical artists. Both were singers. And at that time, you know, musical was a little bit like a circus. I mean, artists were performing on the stage and they were dancing. They were acrobats. And Chaplin's father was quite famous at that time. He had some kind of a fame. And I think Chaplin learned a lot from his parents, being in the backstage, observing them. And one day, Hannah, his mom, was on the stage and suddenly her voice broke. She couldn't sing anymore. And Chaplin was 5 years old. He was in the backstage and Hannah just called him on the stage because she really couldn't perform anymore. When he got there, he started to sing on the stage, and the people were just amazed about his performance. So they started to throw coins at him. So he stopped singing and he said, okay, you want me to sing? So throw more money. So I think he very quickly understood that he could do maybe a business or a career out of being on the stage. And this is how it all started. And then he performed everywhere around England and in America. And this is when he got spotted by a famous producer who invited him to come and started his career in Hollywood.
He really was a fascinating autodidact, and coming from the vaudeville tradition and then just flourishing into this major artist of the 20th century, composing some of the music of his film, and some of which is celebrated to this day, including possibly still one of the most famous songs ever, Smile.
Definitely. It's a song that is just amazing. I mean, even recently, the song got sang by Lady Gaga during her operation she organized with a lot of artists during the lockdown that was called Together at Home. And she decided to pick up that particular song, and she did an amazing performance, because I think it's a song that is so full of hope. And this is all about it with Chaplin. I mean, he's talking about things that are tough and sad, but always with hope and with a smile.
And so what sort of material is being exhibited? I mean, what does the exhibition look like?
So first of all, we have a lot of archives showing how Chaplin used to work with music. Like, for example, again, as you mentioned, it was completely self-taught. So he didn't know how to write the music. So he had, I don't know the name in English, but he had this arrangeur. So he had this composer.
Arranger, yeah.
Arranger. And he was like singing the air, and he was singing the songs, and he was saying, oh, can you write this but a little bit more like Chopin, or I would like this more like Stravinsky. So as he couldn't write the music himself, he was singing, and he was, of course, also an amazing musician. He was playing the violin. He bought a violin with his first salary. I was playing the piano, he was playing the cello, but never wrote the music, and was always saying that he had the impression that he would forget something or miss something if he would really translate the music into notes on the paper. In the exhibition, we can also discover a lot of photographs of Chaplin with a lot of famous artists. Again, for example, there is this amazing pianist that was Clara Haskell. We'll have also Petula Clark and Yehudi Menuhin. So Chaplin was definitely in love with the musicians, and it was always surrounded with them. Music was important at all stages of his life.
Hmm. And so you got all of this material exhibited from the archives. Where exactly is the material coming from?
So we have a variety of material. There's all the Chaplin's archive, paper archives are located near where the museum is in Montreux. We have photographs that comes also from the Chaplin's photograph fund, which is in a musée in Switzerland. And I think this is plus, of course, a lot of movies, abstract. We also have something that is very fun, again, for all public. We have this an old machine that makes a lot of different noises. This is an old machine that was used in the previous, in the old-time silent movies. You know, you had this machine in the cinemas, and people would play like clap, clap from the crowds. Or we had, for example, noises from the wind, and people can play with that. And this is to show that with the silent movie, there was always a will to add sound to it. Although the technology was not there at the time, they always were very creative at adding the sound. But of course, for Chaplin, who was a perfectionist, letting these kind of things go and let it to the pianist in the room at the time where the pianists were playing on a movie, he didn't like it. He wanted to control everything. So very quickly he started to write his own music for his movies.
That's fascinating. That machine is is really something.
It's a fun thing.
Annika, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about Chaplin's World. I really hope to visit it one day soon.
Well, Matt, you'll be more than welcome, and definitely we'll catch up when you come to Switzerland. It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.